morning and welcome to Leadership Connection. I'm your host, Doug Tucknet, and today I'm sitting down with Matt Meyer from Mosaic Corporation. I've known Matt a number of years. I mean, we've met a few times briefly. It's not like we've worked a lot together. We've seen each other at conferences and a couple of different events when you were at Cargill. I can't think of how many years I've probably known you, but it's got to be...
Close to 20, Doug.
I was just going to say that. It's got to be close to 20 years. So, but I haven't seen you in quite some time, and I know that you've had some different jobs since I first met you, and so we'll talk a bit about those things today. Let me start out by asking about your background, where you went to school, and the different companies you've worked for, and the titles you've held there.
Sure. I grew up in a small town in southeast Missouri, St. Genevieve, Missouri, and so therefore going to the University of Missouri Columbia just fit perfectly for me. I graduated, my undergraduate degree was a mechanical engineering there in 1986. And I started with Cargill shortly after, just a month after I graduated, and worked for Cargill for 28 years before coming on with Mosaic 5 years ago. So I've had an interesting career with Cargill. Cargill is I don't know if it still is, the largest privately held company in the world. And you get a lot of different opportunities. So I've been able to work in lots of different technical fields throughout the years. As, of course, in maintenance, I think I've had nearly every job that a maintenance person could have in an organization. I've worked as a project engineer, as an engineering leader. I worked in the environmental group for some time, operations. Like I said, in Cargill, I even done a SAP deployment company-wide for Cargill, where I was the internal materials movement lead, and doing technical leadership with Mosaic. And just a recent, in the last couple of years, working for Mosaic, actually in Saudi Arabia, starting up a new plant in the northern region. So a lot of diversity over the years. It's been an interesting career.
I bet, especially Saudi Arabia. That had to be a change, huh?
Yeah, that was a it was a unique experience that I would do it all over again. It was well worth the time, and really helped give you a perspective that I think really assists you in understanding, you know, what things matter in life when you go there.
All right. So, looking back at your career, when were you first recognized as a leader? Where were you working, and what project were you working on? And so what brought about your recognition as a leader in this industry?
I think as I started with Cargill, going to some different businesses, I think the big time where Cargill recognized me as a leader is when I went to night school and was working on my MBA, and they saw that extra effort, and they gave me an opportunity to lead engineering and operations for our international distribution organization. And so that was in the mid 90s. I wasn't quite done with my MBA when they gave me the opportunity. So it was a enormous challenge prior to the internet to get a degree done while traveling internationally on a regular basis.
It sounds like it was a challenge. So in your career, is there somebody that you looked at as a mentor who influenced your career? And what are some of the things that you learned from that person?
Yeah, I don't want to just point out one person. There's three individuals that I've worked for.
Sure.
Through the years that I really want to point out that had a big influence on the way I approach things. One was Larry Simpson, who worked for Cargill, then eventually Mosaic. A gentleman named Steve Mellinger, who worked for Xcel/Cargill, and another person named J.J. Zeminski. And I won't ask you to spell that last name, but J.J. was the plant manager in Memphis, Tennessee for a corn milling operation. And I worked for all three of those individuals. And I would have to say that the way they cared for their people, and they were real people focused leaders, and they were just fantastic examples of how you want to approach leadership. And so all three of those gentlemen had a big influence on how I manage today. So I don't want to leave any three of them out.
All right. Thank you. So what are some of the things that motivated you to become a leader?
You know, it's that's an interesting question in that I come from a larger family, and with a larger family, you have a little bit of dynamic, a little bit of sibling competition going on. I think so from even when I was young, there were always times where you wanted to step forward and show that you could do something special. And it was actually a great influence, and growing up in a large family like that. And then you take that to an organization, and I think just I love taking whatever organization I'm working for at the time, taking a look at where we're at and just taking it to the next level and continue to drive that new level of performance. It's I enjoy it. I think it's fun. And it what gets me motivated.
Yeah, you know, you've had a long, successful career at this point. So, but looking back on that, what are some of the accomplishments that you've made that you're most proud of?
I think being part of the Cargill COE, maintenance and reliability COE, years ago when a gentleman, and you know him well, Tim Goschert, started that COE up in Cargill, and he asked that I join, and being a part of that cultural change across a global organization was very rewarding. Going from literally country to country and helping change the way people think about maintenance and being more proactive. That was a rewarding piece of my career. And then the other one, just recently on this startup in the Ma'adan Wa'ad Shamal phosphate company in Saudi Arabia, I really had to step out of what I normally do and be more or less a team, you know, a team player to do whatever is needed on the technical side to get that business ready to run. So that was a very interesting and challenging 3 years to get that business up and going.
All right. Looking at the Cargill Center of Excellence and that training that you guys used to do, and I'm going outside of the questions here, now, but I remember going and sitting in on a couple of those training events that you guys did. They were really impressive. How many of those do you have any idea how many of those you guys did through the years? How many people went through?
I only did about 100 of those classes. And at 30 people a class, you know, you're talking 3,000 people. But I know that Tim was involved in every single one. And I think he did close to 300 classes.
Wow.
And so at about 30 people a class at 300, you can do the math. You know, we have 90,000 people that we put through that class over about a 10-year period.
And for the folks that wouldn't have experienced that, and of course that's going to be most everybody that's listening, when you talk about maintenance and reliability, you assume, well, it's going to be maintenance people and engineers and stuff sitting in those training events. And in reality, it was everybody in your company, right? It was operations people, hourly people, managers, top to bottom. Everybody was going through that. It was very, very impressive. So going back on track now, when it comes to hiring and promoting leaders, what are the top two or three traits that companies look for or you would look for in a leader, and what is important about those traits?
You know, I look at three things, and this is something that really set with me when I was working for Cargill. And we focused on three characteristics of leadership, and it was integrity, conviction, and courage. And when we say that, it's easy to get some things mixed up. But on the integrity side, you know, it's doing what's right when no one's looking. Right. And the conviction, that is just the grit of getting it done, however you need to get it done. And then finally, the courage is overcoming those obstacles in adversity. And when looking for a person with those three traits, you will have a successful leader.
Outstanding. Nearly every leader I've talked to through the years has a course that they've taken or a book that they took that inspired them in some way. Are there any courses or books that you could recommend to our listeners that were key in your learning, and what were your takeaways from those courses?
Well, one of the first courses I ever took was a vibration course, just to get things rolling, and that was with Ralph Buscalero,
a legend.
Yeah, he's a legend with Update International. It was that was a great course that we went through, and he really opened your eyes, you know, God rest his soul. And the other one I would say, as far as a book goes, that you can't get much better is RCM2 by John Mowbray. It really helps you understand your failure modes and effects, and how, you know, the consequences, and how you should develop your maintenance strategies. That class, that book was fantastic. And literally, when you teach, you know, you talked about the classes earlier that we taught in Cargill, when you teach, you learn, actually. And so teaching that class over and over again hones, because you get challenged by adult learners, and it hones your level of knowledge in the subject matter. And it was very helpful for my development in learning the intricacies of being a proactive leader.
All right. So if you're forced to pick one way or the other, is leadership a natural skill or a learned skill?
I'm pretty confident that it's learned. I think true leadership is a compilation of many facets, where I don't think it should be confused with single traits such as charisma or confidence. I think I think sometimes those traits can look like leadership, but I think with the caring for others, the understanding, like I said, risk, consequence, understanding how to be proactive. I really believe it's a learned skill.
That's a great explanation. I'm one that leans to the natural, but in reality, when you describe those things, charisma and confidence, that really is what sticks out first, isn't it?
Yes.
You see that, and then from that, you really then have to hone that to get to understand what true leadership is all about. All right, so someone once told me that in our world, you can either be a leader or a manager. What are your thoughts regarding that statement?
That's interesting. In my opinion, it's not an either or. I think as one performs in a role in an organization, you know, they'll use different tool sets for different situations. And I do see leadership as more, of course, as a strategic role, and a manager as that tactical piece. And so through my career, is you have to step in and out of those, using those tool sets, depending on the situation.
All right. I could go along with that. So at this point in your career, what would you say is your greatest success?
You know, every role that I've had throughout my career, I've had fun, and I've had successes along the way. I'll be honest with you, recently with Mosaic, we're in the middle of a cultural conversion right now of being a process-based, proactive organization. But we are also, simultaneously, we're changing with the IIoT to this new online vibe, condition-based monitoring program. And these two efforts combined, when they mature here, yeah, it'll be probably the biggest organizational changing accomplishment that I've ever been a part of. It's truly, I believe it's truly a catalyst for continuous improvement, looking at being efficient and effective in resource utilization, that in the past we could have only dreamed of. The early identification that we'll have, the way we'll be able to do true RCA on a defect when it's young, when it's early in the PF curve. These are so exciting times to be part of this field in maintenance reliability with all the new technologies coming on, and how inexpensive the technologies are. And that's the reason we're able to go down this path now, is the change in the cost structure of this. And so it's as fun as time as I've ever had. So I'm really looking forward to this particular effort that we're working on in Mosaic. And I would say I am as excited as I've ever been in 30 years of working right now.
Well, it's interesting you talk about that, because it's one of those things that, you know, in the past, the technologies that we had, looking at vibration analysis and ultrasound and motor current analysis, all the things that are out there, they required somebody to walk around and take a test, and it was a point in time. And when you've got continuous monitoring, that kind of puts those alarms in the correct place, doesn't it?
Yeah, it's a new way of looking at our asset strategies and really doing asset management at a level which I think in the future we'll look back and we'll say, oh my gosh, how did we ever run our business without this information at our fingertips? And I like it, I mean, being a little bit of a technical geek, I like the Star Trek-y or you know, type of stuff where you can ask the computer, you know, do a diagnostic on your equipment, and it tells you where you're at and what things look like. And I really believe that we're not that far away from those types of science fiction shows that we'll be able to walk in, ask our equipment, you know, how it's doing today, and it'll tell us.
All right. Lots of stuff to look forward to, isn't there?
Yes, there is. And I'm planning on being around a couple more years, and I'm hoping to see some really great things come to fruition here in this industry.
I hear you. I did last year RCM for the machine manufacturer. That was one of the first times I've done that. Normally, I'm coming into a place like Carter Grill or Mosaic, and they say, gee, we've got this existing piece of equipment, work with the team and do it an RCM. And this was really the company that makes the machine, and they wanted to make sure they had, number one, a good design, and then number two, a good maintenance strategy to go along with it when it goes out to their customers. And they're using all those devices that you talked about. So we discussed, gee, how often should you trend vibration on that motor, those bearings? Interesting stuff to say, we'll put that right into the program. Here's the trend for that. So you've got your instantaneous alarm if it goes out, you know, if an operator happens to do something wrong in terms of startup, but you've also got the ability to week after week show a trend to the operator, right? Put those things in the hands of where they belong, right? So anyway, Matt, I'd like to thank you for joining us today. In terms of our listeners, if there was a way for people to get in touch with you, where might they reach out to find more about Matt Meyer?
Well, you can always go on LinkedIn. I have a Matthew Meyer at LinkedIn, or if anybody ever wants to contact me, they can Matthew.Meyer@mosaicco.com.
All right. Thank you very much, Matt. I'm about to sign off here. This has been the third episode of the Leadership Connection. Until next time, everybody have a great day. Thank you.
Thank you, Doug.